I'm a little nervous because I don't preach every week anymore, but I'm also very excited because I really do feel God has a word for St. Louis. I believe God has a word for the church, and I believe he has a word for you guys. He has one for each of you and for me and for Mike. And a little later, I may have Mike come up and just minister because I really do believe God is going to do something. So let me just give you a little background. I'm not a fiery preacher. I'm more of a, let's just have a chat here. So since January, because I am no longer responsible for pastoring a church, I've had a considerable amount of time to pray, to read, to study. I've been doing the chronological Bible for the last year, almost 2 years now. Loving, loving, loving it. And many of us spirit-filled Christians of modern times don't really value or glean or see the benefit of the Old Testament. So we're going to look at a few things today from the guys of old. But what's happened is I've had the privilege of going to all the different Four Square churches. And here's what my heart has been since the beginning of the year. God, what are you saying? Yeah. What are you saying? Not just to me, because I'm kind of more that prophetic teacher edge, but not just to me, but what are you saying for St. Louis? Amen. What are you saying on the earth now? Because you know, so I'm old. I'm almost going to be 70. Mike just turned 70 this year. Yoo-hoo! So, and we got saved when we were teenagers. Just barely married. God knew he needed to work fast. Mike got saved, and then I got saved a week later, I think. Right? We were married for maybe a month, 3 weeks, and the Lord said, I got to work fast on them. No, if our marriage is going to survive. But I've seen a lot. We've seen a lot over the years, and we've seen spiritual moves come and go. And we've seen godly spiritual things happen, and we've seen carnal fleshly things happen. Yes. And yet, in all of that, there are seasons when life goes on. God's always God. He's always in control. But being old, just take that from me, if you're young, and you all are younger than me, that sometimes there's a season where God says, okay, I am about to do something significant and profound. And I believe we're heading right into that. So here's what I've been saying to the Lord all year. Lord, what are you saying? And what are you doing? And so could you just say that with me? Lord, what are you saying? And Lord, what are you doing? That's the cry of my heart. Genesis 1, and I have some scripture, but not yet. Genesis 1, 2 says this. The earth was without form. We all know this scripture. It was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You've all heard that scripture, right? And you kind of see how the hovering, it literally means to linger, to brood. Some translations say brooding. Something is about to change on this formless void that God's looking down upon. He's hovering over the earth. And lingering and brooding, and it obviously we know because we read the rest of the Bible, something did change, right? So then the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Yeah. So this brooding, this lingering, and I feel in many ways that's what I've been doing, like yearning and saying, God, what are you doing? I feel you're brooding over the earth and over St. Louis and over our churches. Yes. And then he said, let there be light, and there was light. So since January, that's the brooding that's going on. And I've been spending months literally crying out to him. And I don't mean like boo-hoo, we're desperate in the sense of, you know, it's going to fall apart. Although there's a lot of stuff falling apart. But more the crying out and yearning for him. Yearning for what he's about to do. Lord, what are you saying? And Lord, what are you doing? So, like I said, I've had the opportunity to go to all the different churches over the last year and a half. And what I see is this thread kind of woven together of just the things that, you know, no matter where I'm at, there's a sort of a thread or a the sameness of what I'm hearing from the Spirit. So what I wanted to do was just share a few of those things today and give time for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in each of us. So in early February, I heard this as clear as could be when I was at one of the Four Square churches during worship. So when I say that, usually it's in worship that I hear something from the Lord, and then it's confirmed through the sermon or 2 weeks later or whatever. And I even shared it with Mike, and he wasn't sure, and I wasn't saying, I'm careful not to say, God showed me or God said. I sense it, and I'll share with Mike, I sense that maybe God is saying this, but we'll see. That's safe. That's a good way to go, by the way. But you know, as you're growing in the Lord, you learn His voice and the timing of the word. All those things play into it. But what I heard Him saying in my spirit one day during worship was, a shift is coming. A shift is coming. Now, just in a general way, and this isn't in my notes, but we've kind of seen where life is going on the earth. And we've seen the mess that it's been going for quite a while. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, that has nothing to do with politics or anything. But the earth has gotten really messy. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm about to say, let there be light, and there will be light.
Amen.
There is a shift
yes.
about to take place. You guys are getting that right? So in May, I had I just felt the Holy Spirit told me to go up to Grace Church. Does anybody know Ron Tucker, Grace Church?
Yeah.
Mega Church, North County, and for the National Day of Prayer. And some of you are probably familiar, but there's a kind of a theme or a movement that took place for the last probably over 10 years called the Mountains of Responsibility or the Mountains of Influence. Have you ever heard that? The Seven Mountains?
Yeah.
Billy Brim, different ones, Seven Mountains. And so they kind of did the prayer piece with those seven mountains. And let me tell you what happened to me. I went alone. I sat alone. And I'm just crying out to the Lord, yearning, just crying out to Him. So what we're happening is we're praying for our families. I'm crying out for my family, my kids, my grandkids that are so inundated with carnal thinking and the world standard. And I'm crying out for all the families I know. And I'm crying out for the educational system. It needs help, right? And I'm just crying out for different things. I'm crying out for the church. There's a lot of messy churches right now, and we're not preaching a full gospel. And there are a lot of people that are in bondage and in sin and stuck there because we're not preaching a full gospel. We're good at telling everybody how much God loves them, and yes, He does, but He also wants us to be free, right? And if we're not telling you He wants us to be free, you can feel ooey-gooey all the rest of your life and still be in bondage. But, okay, so here I am. I'm crying out to the Lord, and I'm crying out for the government. And when I got to that piece, come on, there's a lot of hatred and divisiveness. You all know what I'm talking about. And I'm crying out, and the thing He spoke to me was, and I'm on my knees in this mega church, no one's sitting right next to me, and I'm crying out saying, God, oh God, show me even what to pray. And here's what I prayed for each of those things. Forgive me. I repent. Forgive me for the places I've been irresponsible in my family, in the government, in the educational system, in the church. Forgive me for the places I've been irresponsible, and help me to begin to be responsible. So I'm going to say one thing political today. I have been irresponsible as an American citizen, and we have a privilege of voting, of having a voice, of choosing what we want to be law and not to be law. And so that's a safe thing to say. I'm not going to go anywhere deep with that, so you don't have to get nervous. But you know what? I repented. I've been irresponsible. I have a privilege and a right to do things as an American. And if we don't rise up and be responsible in each of those areas, of those seven areas of influence, God help us. Lord, help me take responsibility for the things you've told me to be responsible for. Amen. And forgive us where we've been irresponsible. In our families, in our churches, in the government, in education, and all those things. So I'm at Expansion South a few times back, and we're doing worship, and I love it. I get lost in it. I could have went home right after worship, even maybe after announcements and offering. But I knew the Lord gave me something. But I'm telling you, what happened was I'm sitting there, and I was standing, and this song Atmosphere Shift comes on. I'd never heard it. You all know it real well, Atmosphere Shift. You played it that day. Well, anyway, whatever. And I'm listening to the words of that song, and it was as if it was a prophetic confirmation of what God had spoken to me months earlier. There's a atmosphere, spiritual shift taking place. Let me just say one more thing. You were prophesying and ministering to us before the service, and you talked about there's a time to fight, but there's a time to just rest in Him, let Him do the battle. I want to say something. God gave me a picture while you were saying that. You know when Peter was with Jesus and he took the sword and cut the ear off? See, God's kingdom is not of this world. And the way we're going to see change and we're going to see that shift, the way we're going to participate in the shift that's coming is when we realize the warfare is not of this earthly way. It's a spiritual warfare. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, not chopping someone's ear off or whatever else. So anyway, so here's that song, Atmosphere Shift, and I'm driving Mike crazy with it. Mike's in his office in the morning, and I'm downstairs or in the kitchen doing stuff, doing laundry, making the coffee and all that, and I begin singing and humming, and I'm a speaker, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, but I'm not part of the worship team. Ah! You know? And Mike says, real nice, Debbie, could you close my door? I can't take much more of your humming. Because I get caught in the spirit and I'm not even realizing I'm humming. I'm in it, you know? I'm humming. I'm humming that song over and over. Of course, as soon as I left, put it on my favorites and all this stuff. And I have been believing and knowing that there is a shift taking place. So then I'm up at Cornerstone, which is in St. Charles. It's another four-square church of ours. And I'm giving you a lot of backdrop because I like to set the tone, so because you don't know me, of where I'm coming from, what led up to what I'm going to share with you for today. So I'm up at Cornerstone, and here's the interesting thing about that. Like I said, Mike and I have been around the block a while. In the 70s, this great charismatic movement took place. Do I need to stand over here? I just forgot, remembered that. And we were, like, supernaturally, didn't deserve it at all. God just flooded us with His forgiveness, with His deliverance, with His power, with His love. And we were able to influence many other people to come to know the Lord. And some of our dear friends, we got to lead to the Lord that we knew, you know, in high school and beyond. Mike worked with a guy, and Dave and Madonna were just about at that same place during this revival time, and Mike and Dave worked together. They got to pray together. Dave was saved. Madonna, his wife, Catholic background like me, a little like, what is all this stuff? You know, where's the priest? You know, we're taking communion without a priest, you know, stuff like that. And I had the privilege of praying with her to receive the Lord and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The reason I'm saying that is fast forward. She was the pastor of Cornerstone for many years. So I'm going from way back to, you know, current. She retired last year, and she gave her church over to a guy named Mike Erickson. So I'm in this service. Here's worship going on, once again worship, and I'm just hearing the Spirit say, cry out to me on behalf of your family. Cry out to me on behalf of this church. Cry out to me. And I'm seeing in the Spirit this vision of crying out to Him and Him doing something, Him responding to my cry. And I stood up, opened my eyes while we're worshiping, and I'm looking around the room, and there's Mike Erickson, who's the second generation. His mom and dad were pastors years ago. They live in a different state. And here's his siblings, and Madonna's there, and here's her children who are worship leaders. And I'm looking across the room, and it gave me a visual of God is doing something this next generation. And I'm seeing it, and it's like this shift is taking place. This shift is taking place. And we're singing during the worship, we're singing the song about I'm about to do it again. You know the song, Do It Again? You all know that one. And I'm just, the Lord was saying, I am going to do it again. Yes. And it's going to be bigger, stronger, more powerful, but different than what we experienced. And I might get into that a little later, but I will say this. The significant part of being filled with the Holy Spirit in the charismatic movement was you had power and you could speak in tongues. And that was the division. You don't speak in tongues or you do speak in tongues. I'm very simplifying it. And there was a haughtiness that came into the Spirit-filled Christians versus the non-Spirit-filled Christians. And there was a lot of power and demonstration. The worship scene transformed. It shifted from organs and, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, it shifted during that time. And as a matter of fact, Ron Tucker and Ken Henry, some of the guys from St. Louis, they were mightily used nationally and internationally to bring in a shift of what we're experiencing now in the form or style of worship. So what I'm saying is the Lord was saying, I'm going to do it again, but it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be the pizzazz and the hoopla and the you're running around crazy. It's going to be a deep, powerful, delivering, healing, but going deeper. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. So now we're back to today. So I gave you all that backdrop to bring us to today. You can look with me in Genesis 6, and it should be up on the screen. Is this, so far, you resonating? You tracking with me? Okay. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. Go down to verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man. I got to say something. I can't tell you how many times they kept saying Lord when I was practicing. I'm a St. Louis girl, so I say Lord. The Lord. Yeah. So it's like the Lord. Okay, sorry. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. That wasn't a good place, but it seems vaguely familiar, doesn't it? And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved, and it literally means he was vexed. He was pained in his heart. So there was great wickedness of mankind, and the thoughts of the heart were on evil. If that's not today. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. Even the poor animals suffered because of man's wickedness. For I'm sorry that I've had even made them. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? Yeah. Verse 8, but Noah, I love the buts, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of crud, and I guess I can say that word, and wickedness and perverseness, Noah found favor with God. Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. See, that's the believers. God gives us a heads up. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. It's not just me, or it's not just you, but it's our households, our families, the people we influence, the people we're connected to, prepared an ark for the saving of his whole household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So here we have Noah in the midst of perverseness, wickedness, chaos, war, just unbelievable, vile sickness and perversion and sexual things. The kids, no kids are in here. So you got to study out what that was looking like back then. It says he was moved with godly fear. Moved with godly fear. Not criticism, not I'm better than everybody else, what's wrong with you? But moved with godly fear, I kind of picture it this way. Oh, God, what a mess this is. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, how did we get this messy? And he prepared for saving his family, strategizing. Well, of course, he heard from God. We know what his strategy was. God gave him a blueprint, literally, probably. And he became an heir. So 2 Peter, let's look at that. Just like the days of old, it says, there were also false prophets among those people throughout history. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the Gospels, the New Testament. Throughout the days, there were false prophets. Always, always. And there's still going to be some today, it says. Even there will be false teachers among you. That's why I have such a burden for pastors. We are so responsible because what we teach, the scripture says somewhere in the Old Testament, be careful how you hear, because the way you hear is the way you'll believe. And us pastors, us spiritual leaders have a deep responsibility, there's that word, to make sure we're articulating the word correctly and giving the full gospel, not just the piece that we like.
Amen.
Because souls, we're responsible for those souls. So where was I? Okay, false teachers will be among you even today. And many will follow their destructive ways. That's the scary part. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. For if God, listen to this, and it's going to get better. I promise you I'm going to end on a high note. But I got to have you track with me. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned. Did you know angels sinned and were kicked out of heaven? They were with God himself. And they thought they could be better than him. But he cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. I'm going to stop there for just a second. We need more preachers of righteousness. And that's more than just saying because of Jesus we have righteousness in us. See, if we have righteousness in us, if we have joy in us, we're not going to go around like this. And cursing and spewing profanities. If joy's in us, it's going to show out in our life. If Christ's righteousness is in us, guess what? We should be living righteous lives. Our lives should demonstrate the righteousness that is in us. Okay, he was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Look at the people that didn't make it on the ark. Bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Don't you think there were a few people on the earth that said they knew God and loved God? And that, you know, they were trying to follow the rules, whatever those were? Verse 6. And he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. We as believers must, it is imperative that we live godly lives.
Amen.
Verse 7, here's the but. But he delivered righteous Lot, who was grieved, vexed, and oppressed by what? The filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them was tormented. His tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. That's how this yearning and crying out that I've been going through since the beginning of the year. God, something's got to give here. And he said, a shift. I'm doing a shift.
Hallelujah.
The atmosphere is shifting. And it's going to begin with us. The atmosphere is shifting. So, Lot, he was righteous. He was grieved, vexed, pained by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Any of you guys feeling that? He was tormented in his soul day by day. You turn on the news, you walk down the street, you know, you go into the schools, you go into work, and you're just kind of shaking your head going, oh my, what the world, you know? Seeing and hearing all the wicked's lawless deeds. Verse 9. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. The Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly. Well, if he knows how, and the godly are still, did I say ungodly? I meant the godly. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly.
Amen.
If he knows how to deliver the godly and we're not delivered, is it his problem or my problem? So he knows how to do it. We just got to say, okay, God, do it your way, not my way. Luke 17. And actually, I'm going to be moving along pretty quick here, I think. Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as in also the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day of the Son of Man when he is revealed. Today, we as believers, and this is not a message for the world, this is a message for us. Today we eat, we drink. Hey, you can tell I eat. We go to weddings, we celebrate, we vacation. Summertime, a lot of us do vacation. And none of that is wrong in itself, but I think the context of this, the heart of this is you can just go through life, same old, come to church, have powerful music, and it's just checking your phone, you know, looking for a recipe for this afternoon, you know, or seeing what the score is. Come on, guys, don't laugh. But we can just kind of go through life, get up, go to work, clean the house, you know, cut the grass. And we can do the same old, and I'm saying, God is saying, open up your ears to hear and your eyes to see. A shift is happening. And I'll say, just like in the charismatic movement, when Mike and I were raised Catholic in name only, just going through life because we thought we were Catholic. We didn't need to do anything else. And something happened. God moved. There was a shift then. God moved. And I'll tell you what, those that had eyes to see, by his grace and mercy, we jumped on board. But there were a whole lot of friends that didn't.
Come on.
My God. That's
real.
So just as in the days of Isaiah the prophet, and I'm gonna spare you looking through a bunch of scripture because I didn't want you guys to have to do 5,000 slides. But in Isaiah 59, and you can look at it on your phone or you can look it up later, just write that note. But the first 14 verses, I'm going to give you a quick summary. It says, iniquity abounded, perversity was spoken, there was no peace, there was no justice, lots of lying. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? No equity, no truth spoken. It's as if men were groping in darkness, the people were hopeless, and they were moaning with sadness. Sounds like today to me. Going to verse 15, Isaiah 59, 15, and that is on the slide. But then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. I got to stop there for a minute because, you know, it's like, where was God? Was he not noticing? No, that's not what it's saying. Just like, you know, the Israelites were in Egypt for a long time, and just like different things through history, do you think God wasn't aware? You think he didn't see it? But the implication there is he finally goes, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to do something. So when I see the Lord saw it and he displeased him, look out. Look out, world, because he's had enough. And I believe, guys, that's where we're heading. I believe we're either heading there or we're already there. But he's saying, I see it, and I'm making a shift. Are you going to jump on board with that shift or not? He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. See, it's all about him. We just have to jump on and follow what he's already doing and wanting to do. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to work it up. But we've got to join it.
Yeah.
For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. I thought it was interesting that the righteousness, once again, that's something I think the Spirit is saying. We better revisit what that means to say we're righteous. And that is not to negate Jesus. It's all him. It's all him. He bore our sin. His Spirit came in us, and we have a new nature. And are we acting like that new nature or that old nature? Okay. He put on a breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation on his head, garments of vengeance for clothing. Vengeance is his, by the way. We don't need to chop people's ears off. We don't need to argue on Facebook and tell each other all their stuff. And he was clad with zeal as a cloak. So here you got Lot. He was righteous. He was grieved by the filthy conduct of the wicked. He was tormented in his soul day by day. He was seeing and hearing the wicked's lawless deeds. Noah, preacher of righteousness, preacher of righteousness. I'm going to give you this as a freebie. I believe that's going to be the part of the thing that you're going to hear your coming out of your mouth. You're going to be a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. Moved with godly fear, prepared to save his life, and he became an heir. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, as in the days of Moses, as in the days of Isaiah, they're crying out, and you can, it's, if you would just, you can almost hear it. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Isn't that what we're crying out? That's what I've been doing all year. God, when are you going to do something with this mess of a world? What are you going to do? When are you going to do something? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And then he sees. And then he says, enough. Can you all say that? Enough. Do it again. Enough. See, that's the voice of the Lord. Enough. I see it. I hear your crying. Enough. Enough. And then he moves. The shift is happening. The shift, the spiritual shift is happening. Now, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm just going to say this from my perspective. I was a teenager in the 60s and 70s. I'm the girls that wore the halter tops, burned our bras, and we said, if guys can do it, we can do it too, and we could be promiscuous and do everything. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. We're equal. Abortion came in. It became legal. 50 years it's been legal. Personally, I'll give you my personal thing. God forgive us. God forgive us. And that has nothing to do with compassion or empathy for the victims, the girls that got pregnant or whatever. So it's nothing. I'm just saying, shameful that we've treated women so poorly. Shameful that we've come as a culture, as a society across the world, that our solution is to kill unborn babies. And you know what? That doesn't solve our problems. We all know that. So please hear the heart of what I'm saying. But when the thing changed with abortion, no matter where you're at on that, that was a shift, guys. That was a shift. That was a 50 years same shift. Just think about that. And I'd be happy to talk to you if I've said something to offend you, because my heart is to minister to every woman. I love women. You guys know that. But there's a shift. And so I believe, I'm wrapping it up, I believe a shift has begun. A shift has begun. A visitation of his Spirit is coming. A baptism of fire. Hear me. A baptism of fire is on the horizon. A baptism of fire. One more thing I'll share, and then I'm going to have us bow our heads and close our eyes. I've been studying a lot of the New Testament recently. I just moved into the New Testament probably 2 months ago. So I've been in the Old Testament a long time, just chewing on it and seeing what the Spirit wants me to see afresh. So here you've got John the Baptist. He preached a message of repentance, right? And he had a baptism of repentance. And he said, the one that's coming, Jesus, there's going to still be repentance. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said that too. It says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that Jesus preached repentance. But it says he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. And there is a baptism of fire that we, the church, desperately need right now. And that baptism of fire purges out all the crud that's still in us. It purges out all the stuff that we even maybe got rid of and let back in. That baptism of fire is going to come in, and it's going to, I think that was spoken earlier too, it's going to purify us. We're going to be pure gold. The scripture says that Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. That's us. So a baptism of fire, God is going to do that, a baptism of fire. And not only will he purge out and cleanse and make us pure inside and out, then he will fill us and baptize us with the power of his Spirit, with the power. So he comes in and he purges and he cleanses inside out, and then he fills us up so that we're empowered to be preachers of righteousness, living godly, wholesome, pure lives. Amen?
Amen.
Sound good?
Yes.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Could you close your eyes? Chuck, you want to come on up? Let me just say where we're going. Keep your eyes closed. I just feel like the Holy Spirit's going to speak some clear things to us prophetically. I believe that you're going to have the opportunity. You can do it in your seat with the Lord alone, or you can have someone be in agreement with you, Pastor Ben, Pastor Jen, Delisha, Pastor Mike. You know, we can pray for one another. It's not like this hierarchy. But sometimes you just want someone that you trust to connect with and say, okay, bring it home, Holy Spirit, and be willing to let the baptism of fire purge us, cleanse us, and the power of his Spirit fill us up. And once I think we do that, I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to go out with a song, victorious, transformed, and actually feel in the Spirit a shift. Not just taking place on the earth, which I believe is happening, but a shift inside, a shift internally, a shift in this church, a shifted expansion, a shift with all the Four Square churches, a shift with all the churches, both Four Square and non-Four Square in this area. A shift is taking place. Could you just softly pray in the Spirit? Oh, speak to us, Lord. What are you saying? What are you doing? Give us personal revelation. Give us revelation. Give each of us revelation of what you're speaking to each of us even now. Show us things. We position ourselves to hear from you. Keep your eyes closed, please. I believe the Lord is saying, enough. And I'm speaking to your spirits now, way deep in your spirits. Enough. Enough. Just as John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness, repent and make a way for the Lord. Even so, my spirit is crying out to you. And he's saying, cry out to me. Cry out to me. Let my baptism of fire purge out any remnant of darkness within you. Let my baptism of fire cleanse you. Purge you of any remnant. It's as if the Spirit showed me that scripture where it says, take the log out of your own eye first so that you can freely and clearly help others see. Let the baptism of my fire purge out any remnant of darkness within you. And I will baptize you in a fresh, powerful way with my spirit. My spirit of wisdom, my spirit of power, my spirit of deliverance, my spirit of revelation. Oh God, te apokosho baba kasodrotosoda. Oh Lord, here we are. Here I am. Oh Lord, we come before your altar. We come before you and we cry out, have your way, oh God. Have your way, have your way. Kosha baba kasodrotosoda. Oh God, do a deep work in us. We don't want the hoopla. We want the deep, deep things of you, oh God. And yes, we'll rejoice and we can dance and celebrate and be lighthearted. But oh God, do that deep work first. Share something, and I might be off on this, but I didn't know you were going to be here today, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying there's a new generation of young people, and it's not going to be the same experience like I experienced when I was your age, but he's doing a fresh, different type of work, same spirit, but in a fresh way. And so I just want to encourage you young people, don't just tune out this old lady, but if you want the Holy Spirit in a fresh way, if you want to know what your parents have probably told you about that baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're not even sure what that means, you don't have to worry. You don't have to try to imitate what us old folks had, because he's doing a new and fresh thing, and it's going to be different for you than it was for me. So I just give you that word. We would love to pray with you, no pressure at all. So, Lord, here we are. And if you guys feel you want to come forward for specific prayer, you can do it in your seat. It's him, not us. It's the Spirit moving in you. It's the Spirit baptizing you with fire, baptizing you with the Spirit. But we're just saying we're here if you want someone to be with you while you're processing with him. Okay? So maybe we'll just do this for a few minutes.
Thank you, Lord.